There are two things I consider of vital importance to every follower of Christ. Of course, there are other things, but I put these two at the top of the list: daily Bible reading and living according to God's holy will. I believe God is vitally interested in every phase of our lives, and we shouldn't make a move in any direction unless we're absolutely sure that this is the will of God for us. The great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ever before his own, leading us all along the way. David wrote in the 23rd Psalm, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." In spite of God's grace in leading us, because of our old nature, sometimes we don't follow. We yield to the weakness of the flesh. What does the shepherd do then? He seeks us out. And if we confess our sin, he restores us, placing us back into fellowship with himself. Does he put us on probation to see if we can hold out? Absolutely not. He treats us just the same as he did before, leading us in his divinely chosen paths. God knows how weak and helpless we are. We have proved this to him and to ourselves time and time again by our own waywardness. Thus, he promises that if we will simply follow, he will choose the right paths for us. How foolish we are to think we can accomplish anything in life without God's perfect guidance. Sheep do not know what awaits them on the paths ahead, but the shepherd does. He knows the best paths to choose. It is for this reason we need to depend upon our great shepherd for everything. A common tragedy is to see someone believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and start out well in his Christian experience, only to end up a total disgrace as far as the will of God is concerned. To know God's will is man's greatest treasure. To do God's will is man's greatest privilege. When we do God's will and follow in his way, we shall never lack for God's blessing. There are scores of illustrations of this in the Scriptures. Take Kadesh Barnea, for example. 2 years after the children of Israel were delivered from their Egyptian bondage, they sent out spies from Kadesh Barnea to search out the Promised Land. Later, upon hearing the report of the spies, they became fearful and refused to follow God's plan. They thought they could do the job a better way. Well, what was the result? 38 years in the wilderness. Years later, after all their wandering, they came to Kadesh Barnea again. This time, they obeyed God by faith and entered into the Promised Land. But think of those wasted years. 38 years, more than half the lifespan of the average human. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Seek God's will and do it, and you will never go wrong." If you're not sure of God's will for your life, wait. Don't make a move until you're absolutely certain. In his own time, the Lord will make his mind clear to the undecided heart. You can't go wrong by waiting, but you may make a tragic mistake by rushing. Moses was a perfect example of one who waited on the will of God. You see, he went up into the mount to be alone with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights and was given a pattern. He came down from the mount with his pattern and built the tabernacle in God's way, according to God's specifications. There was no waste of time, materials, energy, or personnel. The secret of the success lay in the fact that Moses waited on the Lord before he acted. Samuel Bringle, one of the great saints of the Salvation Army, once said, "If I were dying and had the privilege of delivering a last exhortation to all the Christians of the world, and that message had to be condensed into 3 words, I would say, wait on God. It's very possible that you want the will of God for your life, but you're confused as to how to find it. How may one determine the Lord's will for his life? Well, I would say the foremost requisite is a willingness in the heart to obey. If you desire to know God's will for speculative purposes, to think it over, you will never know it. There must be a distinct and earnest desire to follow the Lord in the paths he chooses. God places no requisite before obedience. He says to obey is better than sacrifice. All of us could learn a lesson from the Scots shepherd dog. If left to guard his master's coat, he will not leave it until the master returns. Nothing can draw him from the task to which he is appointed. Even though a rabbit may hop almost under his nose, the obedient dog will not move. A deer might dart across the glen so close that the dog could easily catch it, but he does not budge. I suppose if the dog had a mind like some of us Christians, he might reason, "Well, certainly my master was unaware that a rabbit would pass, or a very valuable deer. Surely he expects me to run after them." But no, the Scots shepherd dog is faithful to his assigned task. You see, there are three ways by which God speaks to us: Bible reading, prayer, and circumstances. I have never known the Lord to lead anyone contrary to that which is written in the Scriptures. It would be ridiculous for God to give us a book to live by and then direct us to do just the opposite. God speaks through His Word. The faithful, diligent study of the Bible often provides light to guide us along the paths of righteousness. James writes, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Usually, this divine wisdom is found through the regular, systematic reading of the Bible. God also speaks to us as we pray. Prayer is communion. Communion is two-sided. Not only do we speak to God in prayer, we patiently listen. We should converse with God, but we should also give him an opportunity to speak. Usually, he is more willing to speak than impatient believers are to listen. Real praying is not a hasty 5-minute session in the morning or a sleepy sentence or two in the evening. We are to pray without ceasing. We also determine the Lord's will through providential circumstances. We may be guided to a word spoken by a friend or loved one, or by something said in a sermon, or by a line or two we might read in a book, or through the promptings of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Thus, as we wait on God through Bible reading, prayer, and circumstances, we shall discover the mind of God. All three will be in harmony. One is not sufficient in itself for divine guidance. Someone has said, "Bible study alone without prayer will produce a Pharisee. Prayer alone without a knowledge of God's Word will produce a fanatic. Using circumstances alone for guidance without the Bible and prayer will produce a fatalist. All three working in perfect unity will enable us to discern the Lord's leading." Of course, after we have determined God's will, we should do it. Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Happiness is not found merely in knowledge of the will of God, but in the doing of the will of God. Many a life has drifted off into failure by refusing to do what God wanted. The greatest mistake in life is to say no to God. On occasion, I've had older people tell me how at one time they experienced a definite leading that God wanted them to go into the ministry or to be a missionary. They refused to heed the call. They were most regretful that they failed to obey God. Some have even told of a life of misery and grief as the result of their disobedience. I recall hearing about Dr. John T. Gracie, who, when he was a boy in Sunday school, surrendered his life to Christ. Returning home, he went to his father and told him what he had done, and he thought God wanted him to be a missionary. The father replied, "My son, go and do your duty, even though you die for it." Then John told his mother. She said, "I would rather die without a crust than to have you disobey the call of God." John T. Gracie's name will go down in history as one of the greatest missionaries of his church. So I say, there is no greater blessing or happiness than being in the center of God's will. Abraham's servant said, "I being in the way the Lord led me." Here's the secret of real joy. God makes no mistakes when he leads us. He leads us for his name's sake. He cannot possibly fail. He never fails his mighty name. Have you entrusted your life to him? Are you wholly following him? If not, seek his will. Then permit him to guide you in the right paths for his great name's sake. Now, if you're not a child of God, if you've never received Jesus, I urge you to do that right now. This is where the good life really begins. Don't wait until you find out the hard way. While Jesus beckons to you in love and grace, respond to him. Claim him as your Savior from sin. Then get busy for him. Seek his plan and will for your life. Do what he wants you to do. And I'll tell you, friend, you'll never regret it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wonderful concern you have for each of us. Give us a similar concern, that we may reach out to other people and help them in their difficulties and problems. Deliver us from selfish living. May Jesus be in full control. And for unsaved listeners, Father, may they realize that time is running out. But you're there now, and the opportunity to be saved is now. So may they come. In Jesus' name, amen.